Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Aarti Pharma Labs Q1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Nuvama Wealth Management Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shrikant Akolkar from Nuvama Wealth Management Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and good day, everyone. On behalf of Nuvama Wealth Management, we welcome you all to Q1 FY26 earnings conference call of Aarti Pharma Labs Limited. From the management side, we have with us Mr. Rashesh Gogri, Chairman, Mrs. Hital Gogri-Galla, Vice Chairperson and Managing Director, and Mr. Piyush Lakhani, Chief Financial Officer. I'll now hand over the conference call to Mr. Rashesh Gogri for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Aarti Pharma Labs' earnings call for the first quarter of the financial year 2026. I appreciate you taking the time to join us today as I walk you through the performance of Q1 FY26 and share key business developments. Let me start with an overview of our standalone financials for Q1 FY26. The top line in Q1 FY26 was 375 crore, which was rupees 394 crore a year back. The EBITDA was 95 crore as compared to 84 crore in the corresponding period of the previous year. This is an increase of 14% YoY. The profit after tax in the Q1 FY26 was 51 crore as compared to rupees 47 crore a year back, which was an increase of 9% YoY basis. Even though the revenue has been slightly dipped in this quarter year-on-year, the EBITDA and the PAT have grown reasonably well. I remain confident that the underlying fundamentals and the long-term drivers of the business are intact. Now, I will talk about the consolidated financials for Q1 FY26. The top line was 386 crore against rupees 555 crore in Q1 FY25. The reported consolidated top line of Q1 FY26 is not actually comparable to that of Q1 FY25 because this does not include the proportionate share of the Ganesh Polycab turnover. Following the amendment in the subscriptions and shareholders' agreement, GPL Ganesh Polycab is a joint venture from Q1 FY26 onwards. Accordingly, in the consolidated financials, a single line of share of profit is added following the equity method of consolidation. So basically, the consolidated turnover for Q1 FY26 onwards will not include GPL Ganesh Polycab's contribution and hence will look optically lower year-on-year. However, the EBITDA and the PAT will continue to include GPL's share and will be comparable year-on-year. The EBITDA was rupees 95 crore as compared to rupees 97 crore in Q1 FY25. The profit after tax for the quarter was rupees 50 crore as compared to rupees 56 crore a year back. Additionally, for the revenue of Aarti USA Incorporated, the Q1 FY26 has significantly come down, and this was communicated in past calls. This is due to limited business activities in the subsidiary, which were earlier carried out for the Aarti Industries Limited distribution business, which has shifted to the Aarti Industries subsidiary in the U.S. Now, let me present the business highlights. Aarti Pharma Labs continues to operate in three key verticals: Xanthine derivatives, API and intermediates, and CDMO/CMO services. The Xanthine derivative segment contributed to 50% of our turnover in Q1. The volume split was 65% beverages customers and 35% for others. In terms of geographical split, the export sales was 57%, and the rest of 43% was local sales. The API and intermediate business stood 41% of the turnover, and the subsegment-wise, the breakup is 49% regulated market, 43% in ROW market, 8% in non-regulated market, which aligns with our long-term focus towards regulated market. We are continuously working towards the development of new molecules with patent expiry in the next 3 to 5 years, and the number of US DMFs have gone up from 53 grown up to 53 from 50 in last quarter, and the CEPs have gone up to 35 from 31 in last quarter. Also, the number of commercial APIs now stand at 60. The third segment, CDMO CMO, has contributed to 10% of the revenue in this quarter. We are presently working with 21 customers, and the number of active projects are now 60, of which 33 are in commercial stages and 27 are in different stages of development, both at the customer end. Based on the current order book, we are on track to achieve our target of FY26 CDMO sales. It is important to mention that one of our sites which supports Xanthine derivatives business was under extended plant annual shutdown and upgradation in this quarter. This is partially the reason for decline in our standalone top line. For the last couple of months, there have been a lot of geopolitical turmoil, and globally there has been a business uncertainty due to U.S. tariffs. However, the current tariffs rule do not impact our pharma products, and even Xanthine derivatives like caffeine are under the exempt list, and I see minimum impact on our sales. Lastly, I will share the progress updates on the ongoing CapEx. Our brownfield expansion for increasing Xanthine derivatives from 5,000 metric tons per annum to 9,000 metric tons per annum is progressing as per our plan. The commissioning will be done in a phased manner across H2 FY26. The greenfield project at Attali, Gujarat, is in final stages of completion. The mechanical completion of the phase one has been done. The commercial production will commence towards the end of Q2 FY26. However, it will take us until the end of FY26 to ramp up and operate the plant at an optimal utilization. In conclusion, I remain confident in our strong fundamental strategic initiatives and dedicated team driving Aarti Pharma Labs forward. Our strategy remains firmly intact, and we are focused on navigating any near-term challenges with agility and discipline. We are well positioned to achieve our targets for the year and continue delivering the sustainable growth and our values to all our stakeholders. The moderator may now open the forum for Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from Rahul Jain with Credence Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yeah.
So just given the top line degrowth, sir, and also the scenario, we have delivered some good set of numbers. So just to understand, sir, you mentioned about two things on the impact of sales, and also one is the Ganesh Polychem numbers, which are not included in the sales. So what amount of, because in standalone sales, I think the plant shutdown has impacted the sales. So what is the impact in terms of sales with regard to this plant shutdown?
The plant shutdown sales impact would be around 50 to 20 crore rupees.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And sir, when I look at this intermediate sales, that has come down on a year-on-year basis from about 170 to 150 currently. Mm-hmm. And in fact, in the previous quarters, we were averaging around 200 crores for last two quarters prior to this June quarter. Or in fact, even the earlier quarter, we were around 190 crores. So this quarter is down to around 155 crores. So do we read anything into this?
No, if you see, in this quarter, we have had higher inventory because, you know, the shipments were little impacted towards the end of the quarter due to unavailability of shipping space. And I think that would have some impact of some amount of sales. But overall, API business, we have been able to have good, pace, whereas in intermediate business it shares the asset with the CDMO CMO, so there we are progressing more with the CDMO projects in the current quarter. So the intermediate sales is little bit on a lower side purposefully.
Sure. With regards to, sir, margins, our margins are, gross margins are at the highest level for this quarter, around 57%, which are around 51% the previous quarter, and even the year, on year-on-year basis, is up from 48%. So typically now, how do we look at the gross margins going ahead? And if you could understand that there is some impact on Ganesh Polycab side, what would be the... And this I'm talking about standalone, sir, I'm not talking on the consolidated.
Yeah, I think, in terms of margin, of course, you know, this year was a higher margin, because, you know, this inventory had an impact. And overall, the products that we have sold were all more into regulated market and beverages and export market. So that has yielded us better pricing than the lower price market, so on the vanillin segment. So overall, I think it is the product mix that we have played and which has yielded in better margins. Yeah.
And
last question.
Hi. There is one addition to this also. You know, earlier there has been some disclosure change in the financial that we have published. Earlier, some of the consumables that we normally consume in the plant were getting clubbed in the cost of materials. So now, because these are consumables like filter cloths and valves and, you know, those engineering items, as we say. So these, from this quarter onwards, and including the previous earlier quarters also, we have now shown it as under other expenses.
Okay.
So there has been. So now the cost of material consumed consists of only raw material, packing material, and fuel. So these consumables, engineering consumables that we are saying are now clubbed under other expenses.
Okay. Last question. So with regards to the guidance, you have maintained guidance both on CDMO growth and also on the EBITDA growth. Given the current quarter has been almost flattish on EBITDA on consolidated basis, and if we need to maintain this 12%-15% guidance, then the next three quarters, the kind of growth in EBITDA will be around 15%-20% if we want to meet our guidance of 12%-15%. So, and given the expenses of new plant coming in, Atali and also Zanthin, and probably they're not contributing much to the revenue, what gives us this confidence that we will achieve this EBITDA growth?
Yeah, see, basically the EBITDA guidance that we had given was on the standalone basis. So this time anyway, we have a standalone basis EBITDA increase of almost 14% YOY. And looking at overall, you know, the quarters are going to be, you know, not linear in the performance of EBITDA or top line because of the nature of business. The CDMO, CMO turnover may get top line and bottom line may get consolidated in particular quarter, which may result into a bump. So I think overall we have to look at, you know, few quarters and then see how overall growth trajectory is to really consider, because there will be certain quarters where, due to multiple stages of processing that we are doing, you know, we may end up doing more earlier stages processing and the invoicing may happen in the later quarters, so which may impact the top line and the bottom line growth.
Thank you, sir. Wish you all the best. Thanks a lot.
The next question comes from Aejas Lakhani from Unifi AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, just a clarification on the Zanthin. Sir, you mentioned that 15 crore-20 crore was on account of plant shutdown. So just wanted to understand that ex of that, has there been any impact of pricing, volume, seasonality, if you can expand?
No, there has been no impact on any of these things. Basically, as we have disclosed the product sales mix that we have done more sales to export as well as the beverages market in the current quarter. And that has resulted in better performance in this current quarter.
Understood. And sir, just could you also call out in the API business, you know, we understand the quarterly volatility, and you mentioned that there was a shipping space impact and, you know, you had higher inventory. How do you expect the full year ramp up to be for this segment?
Yeah, in the API business also we are looking at reasonable growth, I think, going forward. So it will be, EBITDA growth will be at least more than 10%.
Okay, okay. And, you know, sir, I mean, we understand that there's a shift on the gross margin front, but like to like, if one were to compare it to the previous quarter in the old format, where were gross margins today?
For the standalone, so the impact of this change in the cost of material consumed has been given for the earlier quarters also. So now it is like to like if you compare what we have published.
On the presentation, that was there, yeah.
Okay. And sir, in Ganesh podcast, when do we expect to break even? When will it start contributing to the bottom line? And what are the key challenges today we are facing?
No, no, in Ganesh Polychem, last year we had a good EBITDA of around 60 crores. And this year, you know, we took a shutdown, plant shutdown to modify and do some modification at our plant. So post that, I think we have restarted our plant in July. And I think the current quarter, we will reach to normalcy of volume and demand.
Okay. And finally, sir, CDMO has started off to a good start, and we thought that this is more of a, you know, second half story. So could you comment a little bit on what's driving CDMO?
Now, as mentioned in my opening remarks, you know, we have already, I have already told that, you know, we have order book of, you know, the guidance that we have issued 35 to 40% growth. So we are quite confident about, you know, achieving the same.
Understood. Thanks all.
The next question comes from Ankit Gupta with Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, you know, you highlighted about the reason for, you know, declining revenue on the xanthine part. But on the API front, sir, you know, last year we had seen a very good growth because of the expansions we had done prior to last year. So we had seen almost a growth of around 42%. And I think there was some, like this we still had some room on the capacity available for growth in the API segment. So, you know, given how the first quarter has panned out, you know, do you think we can still grow at least 10-15% on the base of almost 770 crore of API in FY25 for this year, financial year 26?
Yeah, yeah. See, what has happened is that last year, last quarter, we pushed a lot of sales. So, we could achieve very higher sales on the, in the last year, last quarter. Whereas in this quarter, we were constrained by shipping space availability and also, you know, that resulted in an inventory stock increase in particularly API. And of course, you know, basis on every year first quarter, normally the API sales are higher because as the start of the year, you know, customers may like to cover some volume. So I think there is some seasonality also to it.
Yeah. Okay, so at least compare like FY.
Yeah, as I mentioned, we will be able to grow this business.
Sure. Okay. And sir, on the xanthine part, you know, we have the new capacities coming in, you know, additional capacity of 4,000 ton coming in, let's say, in the second half. So for this segment, we have had very good volume growth for the past 2-3 years, but, you know, because of the fall in realizations, the overall revenue has actually, you know, remained in the range of around 780-800 crores. So how do you see this, you know, xanthine segment panning out for us over the next 2 years, 26 and 27? 27 will have the full year benefit of the expansion coming in. So do you think, you know, the additional capacity we can utilize at least 70-80% next year? And for this year, how do you see growth for this segment?
Overall, I think 2 years down the line, we are looking at 1,000 crore plus top line for this segment, and I think we are quite confident with the increased capacity, we will be able to achieve the 2-3 years in 2-3 years time good optimized capacity utilization.
Sure. So at least FY27. Yeah, ma'am, you were saying something.
No, that's it. Yeah.
So at least FY27, we should be able to reach 1,000 crore of revenue from Zentin.
No, in 27 or 28, in one of the years. Of course, it depends on the raw material prices, final prices, and all that. So we have given 3 years, we will have the capacity utilization of 80 to 90%, with 50% of sales going to beverages and regulated customers. So that's what is the target. So ultimately, out of 9,000, we may optimally utilize 7,500 to 8,000, out of which 50% will go to the beverages and export customers.
Okay, and that will be a better margin plus more, regular sales kind of business for us.
Yeah, the products are different. So the product for beverages is a different product, and the product for API pharma requirement is different. Specifically.
Is there any comments on the pricing, how the Zentin prices are currently? Have we seen the prices bottoming out, and has there been any increase in the pricing for the Zentin products?
No, I think prices are stable on spot market also. Yeah, we are seeing stable pricing. We have not seen any further drop of pricing. And it, overall, I think raw material costs have also come down. So overall, that is what has resulted in the pricing pressure in past. But now I think everything is stable.
Sure. And last question was on the CDMO segment. We are expecting to, get around 35-40% kind of growth for this year, given how the pipeline is shaping out. So can you talk about how do you see, given how the pipeline is currently, and, we have seen significant increase in our molecules, both on under development as well as commercial stage, as well as we have added new customers also over the past 2 years. There has been a significant jump in that. So 27-28, do we see, this segment continuing to grow at least 30-40 or even higher growth rates with new capacities that are utterly coming in later half of this year?
As I have mentioned in past, in 3-4 years we want all segments to grow up to 100 million or 1,000 crore, whichever reaches faster, so that's what the target is. So it depends on the year and how the approvals come and how our customers are doing. We have seeded the project, so we have 60 projects which are ongoing, and how the approvals are coming and how commercially the products are faring in the marketplace and how fast we are able to get approvals as additional source in the current commercial product for the regular requirement. So all these factors are in hand of our customers. We are doing hard work in terms of supplies and development work, but ultimately we will get there, because all these products are currently in the patent phase. So, customer has fair bit of idea of how the growth is and how it is going ahead.
So let's say in FY29, we can expect at least 800,000 crore of revenues from CDMO segment.
That's the target,
Okay. Thank you, Nishan. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone. So my first question is, you have mentioned that by Q2, our Latali project mechanical completion will be over, and by Q4, the commercial revenue will start. So will 2 quarter time be sufficient to do validation and everything? And even if I assume asset turns of 1.3, 1.4 times, essentially we are looking at 500 odd crore kind of a revenue from the phase one. So from start to reaching that kind of a number, what is the timeline that we are envisaging?
Yeah, basically, you know, whatever we are going to do there is going to be earlier stages, production, as well as the products which will shift from our current manufacturing site to this site. So with where we are having additional orders. So all this together will be able to fill up the plant slowly. And overall, I think we expect plant to get utilized. So we have earlier mentioned that every second year, after 2 years, you know, we'll put up additional blocks. So with this optimally getting occupied, we will put up newer facility. And of course, the top line in EBITDA, you know, top line, we are basically not tracking top line to that extent. We will ensure EBITDA growth due to this addition of this manufacturing facility.
Okay. So when we say that we will move some of the existing products or production from existing site to new site, so does it mean that the revenue generated from new site will not be incremental in nature? That is how we should look at it.
No, overall, you know, we have multiple sites which ultimately feed into the CDMO business as well as the intermediate business. And I think you will see a increase in both top line. So anyway, as we have projected growth in CDMO, CMO this year and next year also, going forward, we expect growth to happen. So that will be driven by the additional capacities that we have put up in Atali that will help us achieve those growth targets.
Okay. And sir, the you know, our aspiration to reach you know, let's say 1,000 crore number in a given timeline. So to reach that number, you know, do we see the visibility based on current commercial and in pipeline products to reach that number, or you think that we need to get many more projects to actually get to that number?
It depends on how our customers are doing and when they are getting the approval. I think anything can happen. So we are doing currently hard work of getting more customers, more projects, and every year we will add those. And I think combination of both will work towards achieving growth in future.
Okay. And lastly, if you can talk more in terms of, you know, what are the white spaces in terms of our capability on the CDMO side, which either we on our own or from the slight feedback from the customer that we are trying to develop or work upon, which can, you know, help us in the longer term. If you elaborate on 2-3 such areas where we are spending money and effort, you know, on the PDM side.
Now, as mentioned in the presentation, you know, we have given the broad capabilities that we have. So we have now Signation also as a part of our CDMO program. We are also doing continuous manufacturing, which we have added, which we can offer for CDMO also. So all these are newer offerings that we have added. We can also do cryogenic reactions and hydrogenation. We can do high PEP, so basically anti-cancer kind of finished products also. So all these capabilities have enhanced our profile and offering for the innovators.
Okay. And anything new that you think is going to be more relevant, that you more futuristic, but you are spending time and effort on?
I think as in past, I think the world is moving towards peptide biologics, and I think we will like to attempt that in future going forward.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Madhav from Fidelity. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you so much for your time. So first question on the Xanthine business. Just wanted to clarify, you said that, you know, our capacity will be going from 5,000 tons to 9,000 tons. So we're adding roughly 80% capacity. And even on the 5,000 ton run rate which we're at, you know, we are tracking about 700-720 crore top line. So if the capacity here is going up by, let's say, 80%, why will the peak revenues be only 1,000 crores? Like, it can be higher, right? Like, and especially since we are targeting some better priced contracts as well in, like, regulated markets or, you know, maybe with pharma or beverages, like you mentioned. So just wanted to understand, like, if on a fully utilized 9,000 ton block, what could be the peak revenue potential, like, ballpark?
So we have guided, see, currently our revenue from export and beverages is 65% and 57%, and in going forward we have guided that revenue from these beverages can go up to 50+. So of course currently, you know, we are on a higher side of that, but that will normalize with the additional capacity. Still it will grow from current base. So that has one impact, and depending on how fast we are able to secure more pharma customers, it depends on that, and that will define the top line, because the spot price and the pharma prices, of course, there is a differential also. So if we are able to capture a reasonable market of say 10 to 15% of our total demand in the pharma, then, you know, of course, we can expect higher top line. But if we have to offload the product in spot, then, you know, it can be a little bit on the lower side. So it all depends on how the approvals are coming through. Luckily, you know, xanthine and caffeine is in the annexure 2 of the list. So we are not impacted by the tariff, so which is a good thing that we have.
Okay. So could you just clarify what is the pecking order for prices? Like, is it beverages is the best price, then pharma and then spot like that? Or is it pharma, beverages and then spot?
I think pharma has best price, and then yeah. I think beverages, and then spot is the always spot used to be higher, but now spot is lower. So spot is spot. Right. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So
think, but you know, it's a market where of course the approvals also matter, and the distribution network that we have now established over a period of time, that also helps us push the product, and there are certain geographies where we can enjoy some better pricing also.
Okay. So just to clarify, you're saying that in the current mix that we plan to sell into pharma beverages spot, the total 9,000 ton capacity, we expect 1,000 crores of top line. That's the way to think, or it could be a bit higher or lower? Like, is that
anything? 1,000 plus. So it can be anything. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Then the second question just wanted to check was on the CDMO business. Did I hear right? You were saying that by FY 28 or 29, this current 200 crores, there is you know, potential to be 800 to 1,000 crores. Is that right? Did I get that understanding right?
Yeah, 3-4 years.
And so, like, in this, is it from the existing commercial, the 33 molecules, we expect like very good scale up, or is it the pipeline which makes us more sort of you know, bullish on the segment? Like, if you could, whatever color you can share on the growth drivers, that will be helpful. Thank you.
I think it's going to be effect of both, and I think we have more promising under development pipeline also.
Okay.
So, yeah, and that's why, you know, it depends on how the growth happens in the approvals once the customers get the approval. So,
sure.
And of course, there are a variety of factors, you know, depending on the competing therapy and how they are effectively able to capture the market share.
Understood. And so this, the of the 27 projects in development, how many would be in phase 3 or, you know, late stages of development? Could you give some sense there?
So we do more phase 2, phase 3 work. So I think phase 1 will be very limited. So yeah, more phase 2, phase 3 only. So otherwise you would have seen much higher number of projects that we would have done. But, you know, we are marketing ourselves as a manufacturing specialist which does good manufacturing optimization and cost optimization, route of synthesis selection, and having large capacity to match the requirement of, you know, the match the requirement of customers' needs in case the product hits jackpot, you know. So all those things are giving us a good customer base.
So just last question, like, you know, in case if you're able to get to this mix of, let's say, 1,000 crore plus top line in Xanthine, CDMO reaching, let's say, 800 to 1,000 crores and API growing at a reasonable pace. How does the margin profile of the company move, like, from current 25%? My sense would be that the margins should improve. Is that the right way to think, or you think margins could be stable if this business mix plays out the way we are thinking?
Yeah, percentage margin, I think EBITDA should grow reasonably. I think top line is all dependent on the foreign exchange and raw material prices and all that. So top line and ultimately we try to tag per kg margin, we try to maintain in most of the products. That's how it works. So a lot of factors are there. So I think margin should be, from the current level, it can go plus or minus 2-3%, I think.
Okay. But CDMO is probably the highest margin segment, then Xanthine, then API. Is that the reason?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
The next question comes from Vivek Gautam with GS Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry sir, I joined the conference late. So if you can just, if it is repetitive, then please excuse me. How much is the exposure we have to the US and what could be the tariff impact for our company and pharma sector in particular, sir?
Yeah, currently our US sales would be around 8-10%, but I think we don't have any tariff impact currently.
Only 8-10%, and how come no tariff impact, sir? And basically, the pharma is exempted by the U.S. government.
Pharma and NXS too.
So, any risk of it being a temporary sort of a thing, and CDMO is also sort of covered under that only, sir.
I think CDMO work more, of course we have US-based customers also, but largely US, Europe, it's multi-geographical. So there also I think our US concentration is not very high.
Okay, sir. And what are our CAPEX plans, sir? And so H2 will be much better, especially with respect to high margin CDMO business.
Yes.
Yes, so I think the CAPEX plan, as we have mentioned, that in the second half of this year, we will have the Atali new site operationalized, and also in the second half of this year, we will have the caffeine capacity addition also will happen. So I think next year, of course, we will have much higher capacities to produce more products. Of course, this year also, in the second half also, we may have partial impact of this.
Okay, sir. And a few words about your Xanthine and API business, please, sir. Basically, Xanthine, we are facing competition from China and much more, and API comparatively less, or because China is strong in both the segments.
So the APIs that we are doing are more complex APIs, and they are only targeted towards the regulated market. So with that, I think the China overall presence in those products is a little limited. Whereas in Xanthine, of course, China has large capacities and, they compete. But our value proposition to our customer is that we are the only backward integrated, independent of China source from India who can offer them Xanthine products at a reasonable price. So with that, we are able to get market share in Xanthine.
Any plans for us to reduce the exposure to U.S. market due to the risk, overhanging risk for by Trump and administration? So are we looking at other geographies to diversify our risk, sir?
So we don't have any major exposure in USA. 2-10% is very reasonable, and that too, pharma being exempt on the list, I don't think. We are largely present in Europe and all the other geographical locations. So.
Okay. Thank you, madam.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Shubham Agarwal with Burman Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, can you give us some quantitative context over the segment level margins across the three segments? And sir, where do you see the company level margin shaping up in the medium and long term as the CDMO revenues expand? Thank you.
I think we are not giving the segmental margins, but as I mentioned in past, the margin profile in CDMO/CMO is the highest, followed by Xanthine and then API. They are closely neck and neck. Whereas overall, I think we have guided for the EBITDA growth, and I think we are maintaining the current guidance.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, in the past, you know, we have spoken about some of our molecules reaching to a scale of, you know, $20 to $30 million for us in the CDMO segment. So, you know, given we have 33 commercial molecules as of first quarter. So you think, you know, some of these molecules over the next 2-3 years themselves have a potential of reaching this scale of, you know, that, let's say $20 to $30 million, or some of the under development projects or molecule projects have those potential? So if you can talk about
it,
that.
It will be a mix of both. So, and I think we shouldn't pin only to, because it's ultimately the final molecule that requires multiple products, so we may supply all the chemistry also to the innovator. So combining all the chemistry, a single product final, you know, we may be able to reach in some product that kind of number.
Sure. And it will be a mix of both. Some of the commercial molecules also, yeah, that we have currently have those potential over the next 2-3 years.
Yes.
And okay, and then, you know, in this 33 commercialized molecules, you know, will there be some molecules where we'll be the largest supplier, and will our market share in those molecules will be, let's say, 40-50%, and there'll be some other CDMO companies who will be the second supplier, or we are mostly the second or the third source suppliers on the CDMO sector?
Yeah, I think more later is true, because I think a lot of products have shifted from China to us, and that's where still the validations are happening. And once we become full-fledged supplier, each innovator has also multiple partners to manufacture this product, and they have multiple partners from China. So the market share starts from 20-25%, and then it can go up to 50% also, you know.
So, like, a lot of these molecules are still under validation, and the scale-up will happen post the validation.
So every year the campaign may not come. It depends on the size of product. So suppose certain products may be a regular product, certain products may be a campaign product for the API manufacturer of innovators.
Sure. And so, you know, the segment has largely been, you know, second half heavy. You know, H2 every year we have seen significant scale up in our CDMO revenue. So is that expected to continue? Is that lumpiness expected to continue, or with, you know, more molecules?
Yeah, yeah. It will continue. It will have, I think, more sales will come in later quarters.
Okay. And it will continue after Atali starts operations and contributes significantly, let's say from FY 2027-28 onwards as well?
I think Atali, overall we can guide for the business, you know. Atali is a capacity, so basically we are increasing from 1100 KL to 1500 KL. So where we are going to manufacture what will be dependent on overall supply chain planning that is being done, and how the approvals are achieved. So if any product has 5-7 stages, we may shift 3-4 stages at Atali and do final stages where if customer is not giving us the approval to shift. Whereas the new projects will directly go to Atali. But of course, you know, we will have multi-site flexibility. So that is a good thing, which, so it will also have risk mitigation overall.
Sure. Okay. Thank you, Nisha.
Yeah.
The next question comes from Dr. Neha Kharodia with Abacus. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity. And my question was on the API and intermediate piece. So just wanted to understand. So, sir, you mentioned in the initial remarks that in this business segment, it was more of a conscious decision about the intermediate business that we had more focus on the CDMO side. So probably the decline which is seen is because of the intermediate business coming down. But just wanted to understand why was that, as in, were we facing any capacity constraints?
Yeah, so we are, that is the reason why, you know, we are going to start the Atali site so that, you know, we can have our intermediates also validated, and the intermediates which require for captive consumption can be validated faster so that we can free up our older capacity to start, you know, catering to the customers. Along with the CDMO earlier stages, which Rasas mentioned earlier.
Okay, so on that, just to understand it more qualitatively, so if we talk about the capacity being free on that front, so in our Q4 combined revenue of let's say the API intermediate and the CDMO business was about 350 crore, and this quarter it is significantly low. So I did not understand the that part, like how exactly is it?
Yeah. So as I think Russell mentioned earlier that for our CDMO businesses, we have lot of stages to be manufactured. So we start little early so that, you know, 6-7 stages, the early stages were under production, and that is still continuing in current quarter also. And most likely in H2, you will see the bump of, sales going in.
So bump in the CDMO segment?
Yeah. Overall, yeah. So the CDMO.
Okay. And so is it fair to assume that going forward, let's say Q2 onwards, in API and intermediate business, the growth will again catch up, or will it again be, let's say, more of tilted towards H2 in terms of this API segment?
So I think year on year there will be growth in both the segments, API intermediate as well as the CDMO-CMO. CDMO-CMO specifically, we have anyway guided the growth, and I think we are quite positive with the new capacity coming in. I think there will be growth in the API segment as well, API intermediate segment as well.
Understood, sir. So if one assumes, let's say, mid-teen kind of growth, will that be a fair assumption still in let's say, FY26, or maybe on a FY26-27 CAGR basis in the API intermediate segment?
So basically top line, see what happens is that as I earlier also mentioned on earlier conference calls is that, you know, we have regulated market customers, we have rest of the world customers and non-regulated customers. So if we don't get the capacities available, then we cut the non-regulated market, but we still cater to high margin regulated market as well as the ROW customers. So basically practically you have to see the EBITDA growth overall, which really makes the difference in the API segment as well as the Xanthine segment. Also, I can cut the spot sales. So ultimately, so if the capacity goes down by 10%, still the profit may not go down by the same amount. The profit may go down by only few percentage points. And vice versa is also true, because, you know, we are anyway capturing all the high margin markets. So even if I have much higher capacity, the growth may not come significantly higher because we are anyway capturing the all the important profitable market, and then we go after the non-reg market.
And so in terms of capacity utilization for the quarter, can we give some color on that, like how was the capacity utilization for intermediates and CDMO capacity?
Yeah, we were 80% plus utilization, 80-85, so which is optimally utilized because we are doing so many products at a time, so we are fully occupied. Yeah.
The next question comes from Yash Lahoti with SOIC Research. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Good
evening. So my question was related to the CDMO part where we are guiding like 30-40% kind of growth. So first of all, will the margin this year expand on the consolidated level? And also, like, what is our vision for the CDMO segment for like next 3-4 years? Can it be 30-40% of the overall business for the company?
Yeah, I think we have guided 30-40% growth this year on the CDMO mark. And I think overall we aspire to do the numbers that I mentioned earlier in the call, where we want to reach in 3-4 years. So I think overall it depends on how the overall market plays out and how we are able to ramp up the other products. So it can go anywhere between 25% to 33% of our sales.
Okay. And other question was related to the solar plant that is coming. So what kind of cost savings can be there from that?
Yeah, I did mention earlier that annually it will have 25 to 30 crore cost saving for the current plant that we have operationalized. And then of course, you know, we have one more plant which is coming up, which is going to be the plant with the power purchase agreement that we will have with the joint venture. So that will also have more savings.
Okay. And last question was related to like the base business. How we are seeing the growth this year in the base business? As we are almost like near to the full utilization level, and also like the newer capacities that are coming up into even Zentin side and API side are later into the year. So,
I think second half is not far. Yes, so I think second half we will have the capacities and that will allow us to grow further. And we are also adding one additional debottlenecking of API line also. And then we have, so there are a lot of, debottlenecking exercises which keep on happening in the existing sites also. So I think overall we will have additional capacities which will get freed up in the second half of this year or maybe towards last quarter, which will allow us to grow this year and of course next year as well.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kumar Saurabh with Scientific Investing. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, my question is regarding the two CapEx which will be coming live in like 6 to 12 months. So usually whenever a new CapEx comes live, you know, some of the expenses are front loaded. And then once we reach maybe 40, 50, 60% capacity, then the operating leverage play happens. So coming to these two businesses where we are coming with CapEx, how does it look like? Do you feel it will impact some margin for 1 year and then we have an operating leverage, or you feel there should not be enough margin impact given the existing business should take care of that?
Yeah, I think the two CapExes are of different types. So one of the CapEx is greenfield CapEx, where I think whatever you say it is true, whereas the second CapEx is brownfield. And in brownfield, I think the cost will not go up as much. So we will have advantage with the higher capacity costs also remaining low. Whereas in the greenfield, we will have more OPEX, which will have to be covered over a period of time with the utilization. So I think we are going to have a mix of both. So the Zentin will be more brownfield and the Atali project is going to be more greenfield of nature. Yes. And there also we have done almost 150 to 200 crore of infra spend, so which is for future. So currently we have just started with block one, which mechanical closure we have done. So with that still, you know, with the other blocks coming in, you know, we have capacity to do 10 blocks. So that also, once we have more and more block, it will more go in the brownfield capacity, brownfield expansion. So I think we have to bite the bullet once, you know. So that's what we will do in Atali.
Got it, sir. Got it. And second question is on if you can give some visibility in terms of the granularity of revenue in terms of, you know, the AI and CDMO business, how granular it is. I know there could be restrictions in terms for competitive reasons, but if you can give some color to it, that how granular these businesses are.
So in API business, you know, we have in next 2-3 years, we have good patent expiries which are coming in, and with the products that you can see our website and the expiries, you know, we will have good potential if our partners are able to gain the market share. So it's all depending on their partner's ability to gain the market share and how competitively we are able to support partner in manufacturing the products that they desire. So, but we have good pipeline. I think in that anti-cancer and some of the general products have promising sales. I think I see a lot of $1 billion plus products in our pipeline which are going to expire, multi-billion-dollar products which are going to expire. So we expect if we are able to get 10 to 20% market share in these few of these products, you know, we will be able to get a good growth in API. So I think intermediate segment also same too. Basically where we are seated with multiple vertically integrated players, you know, we end up supplying intermediates to multiple 5 to 7 customers in each product, and even if one or two of them are successfully able to get their products launched in US and Europe, you know, we can get good volumes, and I think even the validation quantities and all that also can be meaningful. So there again the game is how competitive you are remaining in total, and that's where the constant efforts to remain cost-effective, create capacities for meeting the customer's demand and all that is important. So that's why we have proactively invested in Atali to have that possibility of growth in this
region. Got it. Got it. And sir, either now or in future, do you see any of these API intermediate products having more than 20%? I mean, high double-digit revenue share of their segment.
Yeah, that's what our overall aspiration is, that any product that we do should be at least 10% plus of market share of the global. But
no, sir, I'm not asking. Sir, I'm not asking for market share. In the API intermediate, our revenue mix, are there products which are contributing in high double-digit, like 20% of overall API and intermediate revenue, or 30% of API intermediate revenue? Do we have such products? Just to gauge how granular our, you know...
No, we have more than 140 products that we offer as in API intermediates. Of course, some of them are very big. So, few products have $5-6 million sales also. And of course, you know, we have captive sales, internally consumption also. So, with that, I think overall... these products are larger products, but not very heavily dependent on any few products. So it's a mixed basket of many products that we do.
That's all I had. Wish you all the best and looking forward for next few quarters.
Thank you. The next question comes from Abhishek with Padmaja Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible, sir?
Yes.
Hello, am I audible, sir?
Yeah.
My question is on the Ganesh Polyethylene. My question is on the Ganesh Polyethylene. Like, since the capacity is now running from July, like, is there a possibility for larger profit potential from the joint venture? That's my question.
I think longer term, the capacity we have grown. And I think overall the plan is to, the modification that we carried out was to enable ourselves to meet more demand of the customer. So that's what is the endeavor. It may not happen in this year, but I think longer term we will have higher capacities which will be able to meet more customers and more markets. So there are multiple products that we have. And few of them have application in aerospace also, and which is growing quite nicely. So with that, we will have good growth possibility.
Okay. As of now, the profit contribution from the joint venture is close to 40 crores or 60 crores. You did say for that purpose.
Piyush, can you answer this?
Sorry, what is the question? Can you repeat?
the joint venture contribution to the profit, because now you won't be adding it to the revenue and straight to the profit. How much is it going to be following this year or next year?
So there will not be any impact on the profit per se. It will be still counted as part of the profit after tax. There will be an impact only on the revenue and the expenditure. So last year there was...
That part is clear. I'm asking you.
Sorry.
I got that part. I'm asking that what was that number last year? Was it 40 crores or 60 crores?
It was 60 crores EBITDA. EBITDA was 60 crores, so our share was 50% of that.
Okay. So, okay, sir. Thanks. That's all.
The next question comes from Prakash Kapadia from Kapadia Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Most of the questions are answered. I just had one question. You know, on the CDMO side, obviously we've seen good growth and you commented, you know, the trajectory will continue. So given that, you know, growth in CDMO, shouldn't EBITDA trend higher than the 12-15% which we've, I think, mentioned at the GPT?
Yeah, I think as we mentioned, you know, with the new plants coming in, we will have higher OPEX also and all that. So with that, I think we have to see how our overall utilization happens. And next year, we can definitely have higher growth. But this year, with the half year, you know, we'll have to see how it goes.
Yeah, and also along with CDMO, we have other businesses also growing. So overall, there will be... combined, if we see, it will be as guided earlier.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Avinish with Vakarya. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. Thanks for taking my question. I just have a quick one. This is regarding the CDMO business where you make products for the big pharma, the on-patent products. I just wanted to know that the APIs or the intermediates that you make, are they getting exported to the formulation plants in the US or are they getting to Ireland? I mean, which is your major export country right now for that business?
I think they are getting exported all around the world. So largely, I think Europe is quite concentrated for manufacturing of API and formulation, and of course some goes to US as well. So
sir, the goods that are getting shipped to US, as I understand, API doesn't form in the definition of pharmaceuticals as it applies for the tariff. So are your APIs, so are your APIs that are getting shipped to US, are they getting tariffed right now?
No, they are not getting tariffed.
So basically API are also exempt from tariffs as of now?
Yeah.
Okay. And let's assume for a second that Section 232 investigation does lead to some tariffs. Is there an understanding on how that might impact our business? Who's going to take on these tariffs? I mean, what are the contracts like? Are they FOB or are they DDP? Can you give some color on that?
Some of the contracts are FOB. I think largely FOB.
So is that an understanding that whatever number that comes from the investigation, whatever the number that would be, is it like partly absorbed by us and the customer or fully absorbed by the customer? Is there any clarity on that?
I think 50% tariff, if it becomes applicable, I don't know what will happen. But currently, anyway, we are saved from this. So we are not speculating what will happen. Because currently, they are under the exempt list. So we hope that the things resolve and we have a much better tariff situation in future. And even if something were to come, I think if it comes to 50%, I think there will be some impact. Because, you know, even if we directly may not sell, I think our customers will eventually sell to US market because US is the biggest market of formulation of generic products. And what is the stance of President Trump on the generic, whether they want to apply tariffs or not and how he wants to take it, you know. It's more speculative. I think today the tariffs are not applicable. That's what we can say.
Okay. So basically when that number comes, that is when you start having discussions with your customer on basically how this gets split or whether the customer absorbs it or not.
Yes, because a lot of customers are India-based also, which ultimately end up exporting the regulated market API customers. These could be basis India, and they ultimately export. There are a few customers which are US-based, but largely the manufacturing has shifted to other countries, right, from US. So,
yeah, just one clarification here. Some of the other players have said that the APIs are actually not exempt from this Section 232, and it applies to only the final formulation. So you are indicating that you are paying the tariff on the API exports to the US.
I think the products that we are exporting, our sale condition is CIF, so we are not paying any tariff. And okay, of course, the xanthine is under annexure 2 list, so it is under exempt. The caffeine and its source are under exempt list.
Understood. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would like to thank all of you for attending the call. Thanks.
Thank you. This concludes the conference call. On behalf of Nuvama Wealth Management Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.